Hi, everyone. This is Carolyn from Second Serve. Who is excited about the French Open? The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris, and you can watch every court live on Tennis Channel Plus. You can watch it on your phone or smart TV live in HD. So you can watch it at work or while you're waiting in your kid's carpool line. Live coverage begins Monday, May 20th. You can be there when it happens with Tennis Channel Plus. Hi, this is part two to our conversation with 17-time Grand Slam champion and two-time gold medalist Gigi Fernandez. She is going to discuss how and when adult recreational players should poach, and I think it's really interesting. If you haven't had a chance to listen to part one, I hope you'll go back and listen.
So can you tell me or tell us when you should generally look to poach? Because this is one of my biggest things that I was trying to learn this, I guess, 2020, right? Coronavirus year. Didn't get a chance to because we weren't out on the court as much. But yeah. Carolyn and I just got bumped that year, 2019, from 3-5s to 4-0s. And I was like, 2020 is going to be my year to figure out when to poach. And then I didn't really get it.
And then COVID hit.
Yeah, and then COVID hit and we weren't on the court as much. So now Carolyn and I are calling this our rebuilding year since we just got bumped up and we're like the little infant 4-0s now. But so can you give us a sense of best time to poach?
Yeah. So first of all, you want to poach on a deep ball and ideally one that's an outside shot, right? So you want an outside shot when you poach. If you poach on an inside shot, you're giving them the option to hit the cross court backhand or cross court forehand backhand, assuming right hand is, which is the easier of the shots. And, you know, this is like a, you know, sometimes I have to be careful how I say this because the reality of life is that as we age, we're slower, right? And we just, it gets to the point where poaching is a physics problem that has no solution. Right, because we have two moving objects and an interception point. You're moving, the ball's moving, and you have to intercept it. So what's your velocity? What's the velocity of the ball? And sometimes your velocity is not going to be enough. And the velocity of the ball is too fast, and you're not going to get to that interception point.
Right.
That's the reality of poaching. So what I implement for adults is what I call plan switches. And when you have a plan switch, you and your partner have an agreement on which ball you're going to go. So you say you're returning and you say the returner's partner will put a number in the back of their, you know, in the back so the opponents don't see it and say it's a two. That means when the opponent hits the second ball, then you guys are going to switch. Mm-hmm. And when you switch, you can leave early. You can leave super early because you don't want to get past cross court because your partner's going, right? So if you're in this cross court rally and you say on the second one, I'm going, you go, they come here. If they hit the ball cross court, you have to get it. So, and then knowing that your partner's going to go get the one down the line because they knew that you were poaching. So what I like about it is that it confuses the opponent, you know, because they see the movement and then they try to change the direction of the ball kind of mid-swing and it causes a lot of errors. But also it helps you be a little more successful poaching because you can leave a little bit sooner and not get burned down the line.
Yeah. So am I leaving right before they hit it? Am I leaving as they
plan? Okay. So for pros and for people who hit the ball hard and who are super agile, the timing of the poach is as the player starts this motion, right? So you've taken the racket back. As you start going, that's when you leave. Because once a player is on their path, it's hard to like change your mind and hit it down the line if you're going to go hit cross court.
So it's the racket is back? Is that
when they start, right when they start a forward motion. So if you're fast, you can leave right when they start the forward motion. And then if you can get there, great. That's amazing. Now, if they hit the ball too hard or you're too slow, then you have to have the agreement with your partner and say, okay, the second one I'm going, the third one I'm going. And then you would just leave like almost before they start taking the racket back.
Really? Right? Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, usually, I mean, if it, yeah. depending, it all depends on the pace of the ball. Like
she likes it.
On the serve, like if you're doing it on the serve, I mean, if it's a good hard serve, what you guys 4-0, so
yeah.
Serves are probably still not super hard. Yeah. So maybe after the ball has come off the bounce and it's when the player's starting to set up, then you would take it. So you have to time it so that you have to be assured that if the ball went cross court, you're able to get it. Yeah. That cross court ball is not going to get by you because your partner's going to cover it down the line.
Yeah,
you can also do these plan switches if you have like a preferred ground stroke. say your backhand's better than your forehand or your forehand's better than your backhand by a lot, and you don't want to hit backhand, you know, you're stuck in a backhand cross court rally, and then this person's just beating you because they're better, then you just do that plan switch and then you go hit forehands. You can do it on the serve or in their return. So the more creative you can get with your positioning and your, you know, your tactics and your movement, the more successful you're going to be starting at the 4-0 level now, because you guys are have to play special now to beat the 4-0s because you're new 4-0s. Mm-hmm. So you have to like kind of try to confuse them and do different things.
Yeah.
And use the element of surprise.
I always talk to our pro at our club, and I think it must drive people that have played tennis for their whole lives or gotten to a great, you know, high level. How does it not make you crazy watching people like us hit tennis balls? Because we don't have, you know, we haven't been playing since we were kids, and we don't
I'm very passionate about tennis, and I think I was meant to be some kind of teacher. So when I retired from tennis, I didn't really think I was going to teach, but I started coaching a Puerto Rican junior and I enjoyed it. And I coached some pros. I coached Lisa Raymond and Sam Stosur. They won a Grand Slam. So I was coach of a Grand Slam team. That was fun. But in the end, you know, then I became director of tennis at a facility in Connecticut. And then I got exposed to all kinds of levels of tennis, from 3-year-olds to like 80-year-olds. And I just really found my niche teaching adults, because I felt, first of all, the kids talk back. And you have to deal with the parents. Sorry, I'm a parent now, so I know what it's like to be on the other side.
Right.
But they talked back and they didn't respect and they didn't understand how cool it was to be getting taught by a Grand Slam champion. Whereas the adults really respected me and really they really absorbed my instruction. And then also what it was is that I discovered the social side of tennis. Like for you guys, tennis is social.
For me,
it never was until 10 years ago when I started coaching adults. And it's like, oh my God, I can have friends and I can give them lessons. And then we can go play, you know, we can go to a tournament and I can coach him. And then we can have lunch and have a drink. So I discovered this whole social side of tennis. And the other misconception that I had was that adults couldn't improve. Like if you were a 3-5, you'd be a 3-5 forever for the rest of your life, right? But when I started coaching adults and, you know, I had the same group for a year, it's like, oh my God, the difference between the beginning and the end was like, these players are really improving. So when you're a teacher, you want your students to improve. And then finally, you know, when I started coaching adult recreational players and I saw how we were teaching doubles, I was just flabbergasted because it was so bad. It was so bad how we were teaching doubles at our club. And I was like, this cannot be how we teach adults how to play doubles. I'm sorry. This is just not right. So then I started traveling around the country thinking maybe it was because of where I was not a tennis place, but it was systemic. It was like all over the country, people do this follow the ball thing and they're in the alley and they reverse stagger and don't cover the lobs and they hit the wrong shots and they don't understand high percentage shot selection. So then I became really passionate about sharing what I knew about doubles. And then once you find an audience of people like, I have 15,000 email followers, you know, so then you turn it into a business, but it's because I love it. I love tennis and I love sharing my knowledge and I love being on the court.
Well, we're so glad you did it. I feel like everybody that takes your class, because I told my good friend Teresa about you, and then she signed up for the GG Method classroom.
Good.
And she's a big fan of yours. And now after we play, we're like, what would Gigi say about this? Right. Like, we'll talk.
What would Gigi do?
What would Gigi do?
The other thing that I'm just piloting right now, I have the licensing program for clubs. So I have two clubs right now that are delivering my curriculum to their members with pros that I trained. So I train the pros and the method, and then I send them the drills and they follow my curriculum. And we're doing that at two clubs. I have about 120 players right now taking it on a weekly basis on a test trial. So hopefully that works. So far it's going really good. So
I hope it's not a club that we play against in our area.
I know, right?
That's one Seattle, one in New Canaan.
Okay, good.
but if you have a pro who loves to teach doubles and is interested, just kind of send it my way, because I think it's something that from the pro side, they love it because they don't have to think about what to work on. You know, sometimes it's challenging as a pro to always come up with creative lesson plans and always work on something different. And then the GG Method, it's a year-long curriculum. It's 42 weeks of different drills that build on all the steps of the GG Method.
as adult recreational players, we're always, before we start, you know, we're all laughing and saying, this isn't Wimbledon, you know, let's not take it too seriously. But what is it like to win a Grand Slam?
Oh, well, I mean, so long ago. My last Grand Slam was in 97, so it's almost 25 years. You know, it's like this rush of adrenaline that, you know, you might have experienced like childbirth. It's very similar to that. Like, oh my God, I actually felt like I won a Grand Slam yesterday. I watched CNN for 14 hours. I'm so ecstatic that we have a female vice president. I mean, I don't care what party you are.
Yes, exactly.
We have a female vice president, and my daughter can look up, you know, I talked to her about it. She says, this is amazing, Maddie. You don't have no idea. And she doesn't get it, right? She doesn't get it because she didn't live her whole life being nominated just because she's a woman. And, you know, but anyway, back to your question. It's just like this euphoria, right? That you accomplish something that you worked so hard. Sometimes it's euphoria. Sometimes it's relief. Sometimes it's like, I just want another one. And actually, that's when I knew it was time to retire, because when I won, you know, I used to win Grand Slams and it was like, okay, you know, I won another one. Because, you know, my partner and I, we went in this tear, like we won 14 Grand Slams in 5 years. So we were winning almost three Grand Slams a year. So we just thought it was normal, you know. Right. Now it's like no one's ever done that in any sport. No one's ever won 15 Grand Slams in 5 years. Like we have, like the Bryan brothers, Venus and Serena, like they did it. You know, they have the same number, but they've done it over a 25-year career. So over time it became like, oh, I just won another Grand Slam, and then in the end I decided to retire because I felt like, you know, I had 17 Grand Slams. And my predominant thought was, well, if I have 18, how's my life going to change?
Right.
And it was like, it's not going to change. It doesn't matter. I mean, the only thing that I would have kept playing for was to tie or catch or beat Martina and Pam Navratilova and Shriver for the most Grand Slams in history. And they had 20 and Natasha and I had 14. So if we had kept playing, we may have caught them. But, you know, I was 33 and kind of back in my era, 33 was old. You're a dinosaur
at 33. Yeah. So now it's young.
It was kind of time for me to go. And Natasha wanted to play with someone younger. She wanted to play with Lindsay Davenport. So I didn't want to start it over with a new partner and win another Grand Slam. So I thought it was time. I also didn't want to retire. I also didn't want to go through that kind of decline that champions go through when they start losing to people they shouldn't and they kind of walk away ungracefully. You know, I really wanted to retire on top. And I, you know, I won two Grand Slams in the finals of the third the year I retired. So it seemed like the right time. In hindsight, stupid decision. I probably should have played 10 more years. But if you knew then what we know now, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
Thanks again to Gigi for talking with us. I can't wait to try out the planned switches that she discussed in this episode. We have one more episode with Gigi next week, and she's going to tell us about a skill that she learned how to do. And after she learned it, she won multiple Grand Slams and the gold medal within 6 months. And it's something that all of us can do without leaving the couch. So we hope you'll listen. Please check out our Facebook page, which is Second Serve Podcast. Thanks so much for listening and hope to see you on the courts soon.
Hey, Second Serve listeners, this is Erin. Carolyn and I are so excited that the second slam of the year is happening this month. The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the French Open, and Tennis Channel Plus is the place to watch it. Tennis Channel Plus brings you courtside with 3 weeks of unparalleled access, and they do this with every single court live. Watch on your phone, your smart TV in HD, or like I do, on my iPad while I'm sitting at my desk working all day. I love to flip around to different matches on Tennis Channel Plus to see my favorite players in action. Don't miss your favorite tennis legends battle a new generation of talent and watch exciting new rivalries emerge on the historic clay courts of Roland Garros. If Carolyn and I can't be in Paris in person, at least we can watch all the matches on Tennis Channel Plus. Daily coverage begins on Monday, May 20th. Be there when it happens with Tennis Channel Plus. I know I will be.